Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio, and our new episode this Wednesday evening of Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio. I want to start out by telling everyone out there, thank you for tuning in and supporting Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio. I want to also bring to your attention that normally we would come on WSOU 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. However, due to the pandemic, we were forced to go remote and put together a podcast so that we can retain our audience and continue the training of our program and just enlighten you on different subject matter that actually concerns the African-American and Latino diaspora. Now, this evening we have our student host, Walter Pierce, and we also have our number one colleague and guest, Mr. Shelton Harris. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Walter Pierce, student host. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Okay. You went dead air on me. So let me just start out by saying an introduction for the program. Our name is Quest, and every show is a Quest moment. A Quest moment is a cornucopia of physics, which dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium, and all vibrations possess a wave nature. In our community, our art is in fact and in spirit, the medium through which our airwaves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. Yeah. Are you still there, Walter?
Hello? Oh, yes. Hello? Yes, I'm here. And I guess I'll go straight into my segment for today, which is, what was the Black Doubles War? And this article that I'm about to read to you, I'm about to spew a few points onto you, basically explains the segregation and the split of the army. And before I go into this, I just want to explain that something that was mentioned by Mr. Bates last week is something I thought about, is how you could be segregated and you still have racism and disagreements in the war, and you're more fighting between yourselves than the enemy, because you have the African Americans, you have the whites that have total disagreements with each other, and you're fighting against each other constantly. But the main focus is against the enemy. So just think about that, how that was about 50 years ago and more. But to start it off, it says, we read about Robert Smalls, the slave who and then became the first Black Navy captain during the American Civil War, 5 years before the first Memorial Day. Black leaders felt that the African Americans could make the strongest case for freedom and citizenship if they demonstrated their heroism and commitment to the country on the battlefield. As they had done since 5,000 Black men fought for the patriot cause in the American Revolution. No one put this more forcefully than Frederick Douglass did in the middle of the Civil War. Once let the Black man get upon his person the brass letters, U.S., let him get an eagle on his button and a musket on his shoulder and bullets in his pocket. And there is no power on earth or under the earth which can deny that he has earned the right to citizenship in the United States. And to explain that little paragraph for y'all, basically you're allowing an African-American to carry a musket, to wear a U.S. emblem on his soldier uniform, which was given to you by him, and he's fighting in your war, and you still don't allow him the same rights as the other whites, even though they're given the same amount of work and probably sometimes even more than some of the whites, and they're still deemed less, and I guess they're not treated the same at all once they get back to the United States at all, because when they get back to the United States, they can't eat at the same places that whites do. They gotta have their own spots. They're still segregated with bathrooms and water fountains. All that's still segregated. But in the war, they have to fight one enemy, and they're still given a gun and all that. But to continue, of the abolition of slavery and the three Reconstruction Amendments to the Constitution, Jim Crow segregation has pervaded every aspect of the American society since the 1890s, and the military was no expectation. When black men volunteered for duty or were drafted following the Japanese sneak attack, they were relegated to segregated divisions and combat support roles such as quartermaster and grave digging duty. The military was as segregated as the Deep South. While A. Philip Randolph's threat of a massive march on Washington convinced FDR to ban discrimination against blacks in the defense industry in 1941, segregation in the armed forces persisted, covering the conflict posed a problem for the black newspapers. Give in to the government's propaganda about racial harmony at home for the sake of the war effort and the national unity, or speak the truth and be smeared as co-conspirators with the enemy. Now, that's all I'm going to read, but basically the point is you have African-Americans that were not given, that it was as segregated, as they said, as segregated as the Deep South, but again, they were fighting against an enemy, but they were most likely fighting against each other, and that was the real issue. They were fighting against each other and not so focused on the enemy. Thank you.
Okay. I want to add to that racial segregation in the United States Armed Forces, which has included separation of white and non-white American troops, a quota, had restrictions of people of color and the troops to support the roles, and outright bias on blacks and other people of color serving in the military. It's been a part of the military's history of the United States since the American Revolution. Now, each branch of the armed forces has historically had different policies regarding racial segregation. Now, there was an executive order. Now, this executive order number was 9981. According to the information that I have here, officially it ended segregation in the armed forces in 1948, Walker, and following World War II. Now, some of the forms of racial segregation, even after that executive order was signed, still continued until after the Korean War. Now, the U.S. government compiled with in Iceland, the government requests not to station black soldiers from in the U.S. bases in Iceland. That continued until the 70s and the 80s when black soldiers began to be stationed in Iceland. Now, I want to ask our confidant, Mr. Harris, to just chime in with your point of view after hearing these dates, the information about segregation in the armed forces. What do you have to say there, Mr. Harris?
Yeah, well, whenever it comes down to black people dealing with the United States government, there's always been a mass separation. So, you know, then and like you were saying earlier, we fought in every war that this country has ever had, gallantly. And as long as we were fighting, we were somewhat American. But as soon as the fighting was over, we went back to the same second and third class citizens that we always been. And when it came, and after World War II, mainly, when Truman had signed that desegregation of the armed forces in 48, that's really when a lot of the civil rights stuff really started happening, because these guys have been to Europe, and they were accepted by the Europeans, like just as conquering soldiers. And their only beef they had in Europe was with other American soldiers. So when they came home, they felt like they had a taste of freedom, or what it was like to be free and to be able to go around and do stuff. So when they got home, then they found out that, like Walter was saying, you still couldn't eat in restaurants, you still couldn't sleep in hotels. They kind of got a little fired up and then started, you know, I'm not going to say agitating, but started protesting about what was going on in their communities and stuff. And that was really the beginning of the civil rights movement. And, you know, and those brothers back then, they had guns, and they knew how to use them. And they weren't trying to like, just settle for something. They, you know, we had the GI Bill, but then they had the redlining. And so they, you know, you could buy a house, but you couldn't buy it over here. You know, and it's always been a kind of separation, because technically, you know, legally, we weren't even really free to do all things American until after the Civil Rights Act of 64 and the Voting Rights Act of 65. And then it still took a couple years for that to really kick in. So we really had less than 50 years outside of slavery that we could say that, you know, as far as legally, we were like Americans. But in fact, we're still today. They're still segregating schools today in Mississippi. And Brown versus Board of Education was 6 years ago.
Right.
You know, but it's a lot. You know, I didn't want to take up all your time, but
no, that's okay. We had plenty of time for good insight, and that's good insight that we need to hear and to be part of the discussion. Walter, I want to throw it back to you. You know, what motivated you, what, as a young person, you know, and you listening to the information, you know, off the script, man, you know, how do you feel about that? You know, Mr. Harris gave numbers. It's been less than 60 years that African Americans have really had de facto freedom in America.
It just shows, like how can you support a military that is segregated? How can you support a military? How can you fight in a war? And you just have to think about, how can you fight in a war when, number one, it's segregated? Number two, even if you get back from the war, you're still treated as somebody who hasn't fought for your country, and you're treated as nothing, and you still don't have that many rights. But they expect you to constantly keep fighting for your country and agree with all their laws and all that, but they're not even a real person of society because they're not given all their full rights. How do you expect somebody to want to keep fighting in that? That's what I'm seeing. And how do you expect somebody to want to fight for this country that doesn't even support its own people?
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Good.
Okay, go ahead. Was that you, Mr. Harris?
I was trying to interject there for a second. You know, but just, you know, our government, the United States government, has always sugarcoated everything when they needed our help. when they first said, oh, if you come in here, you're going to be equal, you're going to come back out home, and it's going to be different, just to get you to go out there and do what they want you to do. And then as soon as you get home, it's like, oh, psych, you know, we was only playing. Go ahead back there into your community. So go do what you want to do. Don't forget to buy stuff from our stores and ride in the back of our buses. You know, so and that's been the American way of doing stuff from the beginning. And we can ask all the indigenous people, if we can find any, we can ask them about the treaties and stuff that they made and turned back on. That's why they said they speak with forked tongue.
Okay. All right. Now, this is the time, this is the point in our program where we have guests on the line. I ask them to introduce themselves, and I also ask them if they want to, okay? And I do need to emphasize, if you want to, you can make a comment, a statement, first we want to introduce and invite the person with the number 1421 to please introduce yourself, and if you'd like to, make a statement. Okay, 1421, would you like to introduce yourself? Okay, we're going to move right along to 6778. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Calvin Tears.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to make a statement? If you like to.
Actually, no, I reserve the comments to you guys. You're doing a great job. And thank you for the information and being very well informed.
Okay. That's cool. All right. We're going to go to 7035. Would you like to introduce yourself or make a comment too?
Hi, it's Valerie.
Hello, Val. Would you like to make a comment?
Only to say that, again, we see the strength of our ancestors and so much they had to endure to, you know, to make our lives better, to start the revolutions as only word that comes to me, to start the revolutions that will hopefully gain us the reparations that we deserve.
Okay. All right. What else do you have for student host Walter? Walter, what else do you have for us?
Oh?
Yeah, what else do you have for us?
Oh, yes. Okay, honestly, that was it for all today. I was just going to go over the stuff about the war and have everybody, you know, go for the conversation for these 15 minutes, have a conversation about it.
Okay. Well, we've gone longer than our scheduled 15 minutes, which is basically all part of my plan, so that we don't limit ourselves with time and put ourselves in a box. While we're not always able to answer all the questions or solve all the problems in the conversation, we do have a platform where we ask you, the audience, to become a part of this discussion and to continue it with your friends and family and to look for solutions. One of the things that Val said, as she mentioned reparations and the whole question behind it, when you talk about taking, this whole topic about the military and segregation came up as I was doing research and I found that soldiers during World War II had a double fight. In some instances, they had to fight against the white soldiers in their own regiment and then turn around and fight against the enemy. It was a double fight for a lot of black soldiers. And when I saw that information, it just overwhelmed me once again with the nonsense of segregation, racism in America. And so at this point, I want to ask our audience and Mr. Harris, starting with you, do you have any last words?
I guess my last words would just be, make sure you research whatever anybody ever told you. Don't take our word for anything. If there's something that you feel like you have an issue with, look it up. You might find out that maybe we weren't completely correct, and you can add to the conversation, because that's really all we need. Get more information.
Okay. Walter, any last words?
You know, I just want people, encourage people to just keep researching, keep looking up different things during this time, and keep finding new information that you probably didn't know of, and stay woke of these circumstances. Stay woke of how our people, our African American people, were fighting in wars and fighting battles and a part of things that were more benefiting the white community and wasn't benefiting our own community, but we were still fighting in it. I just want people to start to understand that.
Okay. I want to go to phone number 1421. Would you like to introduce yourself before we sign off?
Colleen Rogers.
Well, good evening. I hear Colleen Rogers. Hello? Are you there?
I'm here. I don't know. It keeps cutting off.
Okay. Well, we can hear you clear.
Would you like
to make a comment?
No, I don't want to make a comment at this time.
Okay. Well, we're about to sign off. Thank you for your support, and thank you for calling in. Okay.
You're quite welcome.
So, you're more than welcome. Thank you. Right. Okay. So for everyone there, we're going to call it a wrap. And 15 minutes went a little bit further than I kind of planned it that way. So with the words of Mr. Harris and Walter, our student host, do your research. And on that note, I want to invite you to tune back in on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. For another episode and edition of Quest Youth Radio. And until then, we'll see you. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in, calling in, and supporting. Until Saturday, we'll see you. Peace. Oh, yeah. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
The best youth radio.
You know that.